the crooked business manager, the parable in Luke 16, 1 through 9, actually 1 through 13, by Robert C. Newman. This is basically a sketch of the story and then unpacking what I believe it means. The text, Luke 16, 1 through 9. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager anymore.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill, make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings.'" So, now this is a parable of Jesus, and in parable, a proper procedure, I think, is to think through the story first before we begin to think about applications. So let's have a look at the story. Verses 1 through 8a of Luke 16. Well, the story concerns a steward or a business manager. This steward is the business manager for the owner of some sort of agricultural business, as we can see in verses 1 and 5, 6, and 7. The size of the debt suggests it's a good-sized business. One of the debts is 800 gallons of olive oil, which at current prices, say about $20 a gallon, would be worth about $16,000. And the other debt is 1,000 bushels of wheat, which at a current price of $4 a bushel would be worth about $4,000. So the business is either perhaps a big farm, or perhaps more likely some kind of a agricultural trading firm of some sort. The steward is dismissed for incompetence or dishonesty, and shows later in the story he's dishonest, and his dishonesty is sufficient competence that it probably wasn't really incompetence that he was being dismissed for. But the circumstance here is that the steward has what we might call complete control over the business. The owner has not got his hands on how things are functioning, and so it's going to be necessary for the steward, the business manager, to turn in a final account, and then the boss will be able to look over that. Well, the business manager faces this dilemma then. What's he going to do with the future? He sees before him that in a few days he's going to be out of his job as a business manager. He thinks about the possibility of manual labor, but realizes he's not strong enough for that. He realizes that it's possible he could beg, but he's ashamed to do anything like that. And then he suddenly gets a good idea. I know what I'll do. And we begin to have a look at his idea then in verses 5 through 7. The idea is to discount the debts of the debtors to the business so that they will each owe him something. And so when he is put out of the business, they can put him up or something of that sort for a while, perhaps until he can locate some kind of a job in another town. So he calls in his debtors, calls in the debtors to the business, and does each a favor by reducing the bill. For example, the olive oil bill is reduced by 50%. And if we're right about the value of the olive oil, that's about an $8,000 favor. And the wheat bill is reduced by only about 20%, but that's perhaps about an $800 favor. So they will owe him a return favor and perhaps put him up as I suggested. Well, what's the owner's reaction to this? Well, when he later finds out what happens, and Jesus doesn't give us any information on how long it is before he finds that out, he praises the business manager for shrewdness. Certainly doesn't praise him for his honesty, and we wouldn't think anyway that he's praising him because it's improved the owner's situation any. Well, there's the story. It's a somewhat humorous story, but it doesn't sound very promising as a lesson for followers of Jesus. So the question that we ask ourselves is, how are we to understand the lesson of this story? And Jesus goes on to tell us in verses 8b and following. So let's look then at the application of this story to us, verses 8b through 13, actually. In verses 10 through 13, Jesus tells us how we should be different from the crooked business manager, which is perhaps what we'd expect after hearing the story, but we're not going to focus on that here. Essentially, verses 10 through 13 tell us that we should differ from the crooked business manager by being trustworthy. Let's take a quick look at verses 10 through 13. Jesus says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So the picture here is that a person's honesty or dishonesty can be tested, if you like, in small things, and then if the person turns out to be trustworthy, they can be trusted with a great deal. Even some hints here of the reward that God will give us afterwards, after this life. He's looking at how we're being trusted with a very little now, and most of us would say amen to that, but if we're faithful, we will one day have a great deal. He's trusting us with worldly wealth, but one day he'll entrust us with true riches. And then, perhaps the most mysterious of all, we're being trusted now with someone else's property, God's property, but in some sense, one day we'll have property of our own. Well, we're not going to follow that up further here. Instead, we're going to take a look at verses 8b and 9, in which Jesus tells us how we should be like the crooked business manager, how we should resemble the crooked business manager. This is part of the difficulty of this parable. We're not to be like, we are to be like the crooked business manager in some ways, verses 8b and 9, and in other ways we are to be unlike him, verses 10 through 13. So let's look at the two ways in which we are to be like the crooked business manager. First of all, be shrewd in relation to this age, verse 8b. The business manager, after he has had the interview with his boss and found out that he is fired, except for the final accounting he has to turn in, suddenly sees two lives in front of him. He sees a short life as a business manager, which will end as soon as he has turned in his account, and then a long life as a non-business manager, presuming he doesn't starve to death first. Well, seeing the end of his life as a business manager coming soon, the fellow took what steps he could to provide for his future life. Well, we're told to be shrewd, like the crooked business manager. We Christians claim to believe that there are two lives ahead of us too, that this life is not all there is, but the question is, do we live like it? Would our friends, our co-workers, our children, our spouse, whoever, ever guess from our actions that we believe that this life is merely a preparation for the life to come? Or would they think, like many people around us do, that this life is all there is, and we better get out of it all the gusto we can. Well, if they wouldn't guess from our actions that this life is just a preparation for the life to come, aren't we really living as hypocrites? Aren't we, though we are supposed to be witnesses of God's truth, actually functioning as witnesses of Satan's lie? No, Jesus calls upon us to be shrewd in relationship to this age. Just as the crooked business manager suddenly saw two lives in front of him, a short life as a business manager and a long life as a non-business manager, and immediately took steps to make use of his short life as a business manager to make preparation for the other one, so we too should see that this life that we're in right now is the short one and use it to make preparations for the life to come. Well, how are we to make preparations for that? Well, Jesus tells us we're to make friends by means of the wealth that fails. That's what he tells us in verse 9. Make friends. The business manager used the wealth he was about to lose control of in order to make friends who would help him later. We're to do the same. Well, what is this wealth? Well, all the wealth we now have on earth, time, talents, money, etc., is untrustworthy wealth, as the NIV calls it, worldly wealth. It too will one day fail if we have used that wealth only for ourselves, trying to hold on to it as much as possible, and to such, we will be in real trouble. So, make friends. Well, who are these friends? Is it God? Maybe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or God and the angels or something like that? No. God doesn't need anything. And besides, all the wealth we have is something he's loaned to us. And we're not doing him any great favor if we give some of it back, if you like. Rather, these friends are those we have helped come to Jesus or to help grow as Christians. Some of these will outlive us, but some of these will die before we do. And these friends who die before us and go to heaven, they will then see what part we had to play, what a part other people had to play, how God worked through us in various ways. And some of these will be very excited to see us come, if indeed we have, humanly speaking, been responsible for their salvation or for their avoiding some disastrous pitfalls because we taught them the right way to behave. So, that's the friends we're to make. Do you remember Jim Elliot? Back, I think it was in the 50s, he and some other missionaries were killed in South America, in the, I guess it was the Amazon jungle, by the Alp Indians, when he and his fellows were trying to reach out and tell them about Jesus. And some people said that was really a waste of their lives. My response would be, did he and they waste their lives? No, they did not. They invested their lives. Jim Elliot himself said in one of his diaries, he is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to gain what he cannot lose. He was right. In fact, investors on Wall Street think that a person is not a fool if he gives up what he can't keep and gains what he cannot lose. And they're always trying to figure out how to get out of some investment and put it somewhere else where they can't lose. Well, only believers can really do that because we can invest in the God who controls history, and he will honor that. Well, let's try to put this together as we think about this parable then. Do you know Jesus as your boss? That is, do you acknowledge him? Or are you trusting in him, etc.? Well, even if you don't, that's who Jesus is. You will one day have to give an account to him for what you've done with your life. And you should think about that right now and do something about that before it's too late. One of the investments, if you like, is that you do have a life still, and you need to put that in Jesus. You need to trust in him. If you do know him as your boss, are you living for him? Or are you frittering away the time and talents and such you have? We can say something else in putting together the pictures of this parable. Did you know that you're a business manager too? Each one of us has been entrusted certain things by God, and it's his property, even though he's loaned it to us, and we're business managers for him. A way I kind of like to imagine it is this, that I am the chief executive officer of a charitable trust. It's the Robert C. Newman Foundation. Well, you too are the chief executive officer of a charitable trust, the Put Your Name Here Foundation, or Put Your Name Here Charitable Trust, or something of that sort, huh? And the assets of this foundation are all the time and talents that you have, all the money you'll ever make, and other things of that sort. And you, as the chief executive officer, are responsible to see that these assets are used for the benefit of other people, to honor God, to honor Jesus, to make a difference in the world. Just as many charitable foundations are seeking to use their money in a way to help poor people or help people who need education or something of that sort. So God has placed in our hands all of these things we have, which may seem a little enough, but we don't know. Our responsibility is to use them. Well, that's the end of this talk. My desire for you here is that you may manage your charitable trust well. May the Lord give you grace to do that.